Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friendos? It is In This League.
Live on Sports Grid.
Get on the grid.
Not live, actually. That's kind of a thing that the FCC has been cracking down about. But this is kind of more of a podcast, also live on the radio. No, this is the whole thing. Did you know they actually are cracking on about that? Did you know that if shows are not live, it's a big like... this is a major sports network, but you know, like the big nationally syndicated places, if a show it says like live and indicates and takes callers but is not actually live, they cracking down. They want to make sure that they got little disclaimers in there, so we lovingly say live even though we are not live.
When you're listening to it, it's live, like it's live in your ears, but yeah. It may have been previously recorded.
I have a great knack for letting anybody have information that they literally don't care about. Like, you don't care about any of that radio information whatsoever, but we will have information that you are going to care about in the show today, because we've got Bubba, we've got baseball. We were at spring training. We were at games. We were around players. I may have inadvertently hurt a player. If you've been listening to the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast, I mean, maybe like intentionally. Like, I'm okay. Here's what's happening.
All
I'm
you
getting
want is
blamed.
Seth Beard to take first base for the D-backs. So
everybody knows that I am a big Seth Beard stan, and we'll just get right into that. Like, I didn't think this would actually happen because that's what was so funny about it. There are so many intertwined baseball ITL things. I mean, we're this small little entity, you know, who cares about us? Hi, look at us. But like, there are so many things that are sparking like the ITL world. If you've ever listened to us, you know, we're going to talk about Stanton. There's one. We've been talking a lot about Correa. People hear Shogo, you know, Shogo Akiyama, whether they like it or not, they're thinking of ITL. We're ingraining ourselves in players. So I still am in utter shock about it. I briefly talked about it on the Friday episode, but the quick story was I'm out of Diamondbacks camp. Christian Walker's alone on this little like side half field working. He's coming out and I say, "Hey, Christian." And he does this stop, you know, nice of him to stop for me. I'm like,
and then
"Hey,"
you throw the micro machines right by his feet.
I'm like, "Hey man, you got a second?" And you would think there were micro machines under his feet. He perceives to step onto the from the little grass area to just a cement walkway, and immediately, whoosh, like a cartoon, slams on his ass. He's laying there and he's doing the like immensely embarrassed bit. And I put out my hand and I help him back up, and he doesn't even like do a joke about it. Just stares me right at me and goes, "They just repaved this, whatever." I just try not to laugh. And then after Christian leaves, this dude walking up behind me goes, "If Christian Walker ends up on the IL, I'm blaming you." And then wouldn't you know it, a day later after saying that story, we get the reports on Roto World and everywhere that Christian Walker is out due to general soreness for a little bit, and everybody tweeted me about it. I feel horrible.
I wish so bad that we knew the baseball people over at Roto World better, because I would have them, it was Jonas, I'd have them say, like, in the injury, it would just say the Welsh, you know,
that's like all where it would say. Instead of like, you know, soreness or like, you know, strained, whatever, it would just be like due to the Welsh.
And then they would explain, you know, Welsh asked him a question. He turned around and fell straight on his ass bone. Like it was just
pain
so
in his
dumb.
Welsh pain. I mean, I'm not sure I've ever really had something like that. I mean, it's all joking aside. He got up and he went and did his stuff. But like, there's no way
the Welsh's fault. No hate mail, please.
I mean, it might be a little bit.
Well, because you said, hey, I mean, I bet if you hadn't said, hey, or you weren't there, he probably still would have fell on his ass.
I mean, maybe. I mean, to his credit, I'm trying to think, I don't know who the guy was after, it's going to kill me, but this was like 45 minutes later, another player, that same field kind of filled back up with a whole bunch of guys, and God, it's killing me who it was. It might've been Vargas or something. He's going around the side. He steps on the cement and he does the, like, I'm walking on ice thing, like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But he catches himself and then he looks around and he does the hands pumping, like, all good, all good. And I looked at him and I said, and I did the hands and he said, we're good, we're good. And he kept walking. And I wanted to say Christian Walker didn't have as great a balance as you did just there. But so Christian Walker out to general soreness or, you know,
have you ever fallen like straight on your ass when no one's around and you fall straight on your ass? And then what's the first thing that you do before you even get up?
I mean,
you look to see if anyone saw you. If there's anyone in there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. If you remember, Bugs, probably the most embarrassing fall I've had, I was on the phone with you. I'm in a Whole Foods. I had just gotten a salad. I'm walking over, and I know it was an actual salad, by the way, LOL. And I don't remember what I was doing, but I went over to, I was doing something, and a canister of blueberries had opened up, and I just went, slipped. I didn't fall on my ass though. I did this like slip bit and then I went down to my knees and I looked around. Everyone was looking at me. Every human being in the store was looking at me. And then I tried to get up.
Wait a minute. This was in the grocery store, right?
I was on the phone with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the Whole Foods.
You slipped on like blueberries or something, right?
It's literally what I just said. Did you check out?
Yeah, yeah, I guess I did.
Okay, blueberries. And then I fell again.
I was piecing it together because I got to be honest. When you started telling the story, I thought this was the one where you fell on your ass at the gas station. But this is the one where you fell on your knees at the grocery store. I was just getting them mixed.
I might fall a lot. I did not fall at the gas station. I came tumbling out off the ramp and practically ran catching myself. I never actually fell, but I did the trip thing. And then you're trying to catch yourself, but unlike a normal human being who would immediately catch themselves, it was about 15 seconds of me trying to catch myself running down the ramp. That's what that was. It couldn't have been more embarrassing. So yes, I've fallen without anybody around, but I also have a knack of falling when every human being's around. My wife's favorite story is we went to this lake and we were going to have this, like, you know, romantic day together. And we're walking down this hill and we're holding hands. And I immediately fell and tumbled down the hill. And if you bring it up, she will cry laughing because she gets to relive it in her head. It's her favorite thing on the planet. My misery is her favorite thing.
Well, people falling is probably one of the funniest things. Like, it's the original slapstick comedy, right? Yeah. It's one of the first things, like, when you see someone fall, even when you're a little baby, you'll start that little baby laugh.
Oh, my God.
Anyone will do it.
Yeah, when you like hurt yourself and a child sees, it is their favorite thing on the planet. Like they'll just keep laughing. It's like, oh, look, he's hurt.
The worst I ever fell, it's two times. First time was, I think I was like 8 or 9 and I was attempting to roller skate for the very first time. And I'm at this I'm at a rink. And I'm trying to go by myself for the first time and both my feet fly up out from under me and I fall straight on my back, all the wind whoosh out of my lungs. And they tell you when you fall, like put your arm up. So I'm putting my arm up. I'm trying to stand up. I can't get my balance, with my stupid skates, and these two like teenager couple came over and helped me off of the scrape me off. And I was like panicking because I'd never had the wind knocked out of me before. So I was like super panicked because I didn't know what was happening and I couldn't breathe. And it took me like whatever 5 minutes to catch my breath. But the second time that I slipped real bad like that, it was almost the exact same fall. I was at this apartment complex going to visit my friend. I parked my car. I was walking up to the door of the building, and it had just rained in Arizona. And if you know anything about Arizona, we're definitely not prepared for any type of rain. So there's this slick tile going up to the building, and I was walking up there, and I heard the slip sound like a cartoon, you know, when a cartoon goes whoop like that. I heard it.
Oh yes.
And then I was probably 3 to 4 feet horizontal in the air and fell straight on my back. Same deal. All the wind came out of my lungs, rushing out of my lungs. And I was just staring at the ceiling for like 5 seconds.
Don't you wish a baseball player could like do what we're doing and then not miss half of a season? Don't you wish Giancarlo Stanton could just like slip on concrete and not instantly be done for like a month?
That'd
be amazing.
It would have made my day a couple days ago way much better instead of going on Twitter and seeing all the people tweet me everything. Like, I didn't know that Stanton got hurt.
The best thing about that was, though, is that you and I were in a stadium watching baseball. We were watching Dodgers and Diamondbacks. I think that's where it was. And then all the tweets came in that Giancarlo Stanton was, maybe it was like a little bit before, but it was the day we were going to the game. And I remember like all the tweets were coming in as we were sitting in the stadium. It's amazing. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it was the best. I was real happy about it.
I mean, so. I wish Stanton could miss some time just to general soreness, not to a strained everything. I mean, that guy has, we saw the tweet. We talked about it on the ITL Fantasy Baseball podcast on Friday, which, by the way, coming off of Hell Week, 5 straight episodes. Over 7.5 hours of podcast content we dropped last week, this past week, all ranks talk. And we talked a little bit about it, but there was like, since 2019, he has had like 8 different strains. What has he not strained in his body?
And probably just his brain. That's the only thing.
I guess strain some RBIs is about it because he's not out there. And so he's going to miss some time. So
he strained my heart and blood pressure. That's what he strained the most.
Absolutely did that. All right. Whole bunch we got to talk about. There is still one big free agent sitting out there, and it's starting to become more and more curious why it's happening. We're even seeing a fall in the TGFBI drafts that are going along with it. We're going to talk about some TGFBI drafts later with Bubba Bogman. We're going to talk about mine here in a little bit. More spring training, and we got some great articles to talk about for your fantasy baseball season. So don't you go anywhere. It is In This League, not quite live, on Sports Grid. We're right back.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Welcome back. It is In This League right here on Sports Grid. I am Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. You can find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh and at Bogman Sports. Hey, guess what? Tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Saturday, tomorrow is the beginning of a month, March 1st, in fact, and you know what that means over on Patreon. Maybe you don't. All new stuff. It is a brand new month, so Bogman and I are updating our ranks, all of our top 300. We've got positional stuff. There's tiers involved. I've got my top 500 prospect list. We have got secret shows, comedy stuff over there. We've got group me rooms for, I mean, we have a dollar tier, but for as little as $5, you can get access to the shows, all the ranks, when we do chats, any of the cool stuff, it's out there. We do some video content that's sometimes only on there. You're directly supporting your boys. So patreon.com/ITL Army, or we'll even make it easier for you, friendo. Just go to inthisleague.com. It'll take you right there. Come support your boys. Come check out the stuff. Maybe it'll help you in a draft season. We know we'll entertain you with the secret shows. It is so much fun. So much fun, unless you don't like Shogo Akiyama, like that mean internet person that tried to do a change.org to never play Shogo Akiyama again.
I don't think they were mean. I think they're, I like most things, I think they're trying to be funny.
I so. Think you what wait, you know, like, kind of funny. I told you before, no, it was funny. I'm giving credit, but like I can't give someone like that credit if they don't follow me, because then I assume that they just don't like me. I assume
so
that they don't
follow
like
you and then crap on your song. All is forgiven.
Well, no, I think it shows that, like, okay, this is someone that likes me. They like the content and they're interacting. If they don't, I assume they're just trolling. But
now, did you read the comments? He said, I and other longtime loyal In This League listeners, something, 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 something. So it sounds like he at least listens.
I mean, maybe
he can be your new 7,000th follower.
Yeah, that was another great thing. This is my favorite thing, because I don't do the bit as much as sometimes I kind of internally want to do the bit where every other person, people we respect, will be like, guys, I'm 25 away from 1,264. And that's a really important number to me. And like, people love to tell other people, you know, how close they are to a certain number. And I don't, I mean, we'll like joke about it maybe on here, but I don't go and like tweet about it or anything like that. But I've been on the precipice of 7,000 for like, I don't know, like it feels like a month. But I don't say anything about it. So this one dude just randomly on Thursday night, yeah, here he is, Brandon Wallace. Want to give him a shout out. B Wallace goes, dude, I was your 7,000th follower. LOL, wicked. And I love everything about him, by the way, because he said wicked, and that's like fantastic.
That's wicked fa.
And then I'm like, hey, that's awesome. Within 5 seconds, I get an unfollow from someone. So I was.
Someone saw that tweet and was like, screw this guy's joy.
F this guy.
Taking this away from him immediately.
Dude, I just tweeted the other day because someone said something really nice. Someone was like, hey, man, I just want to tell you the stuff you guys put out in this league. It is so good. It's some of the best quality stuff. It's in the entire industry. And I was like, man, people being nice is contagious. Look at this guy. Then this guy goes, dude, I'm your 7,000th follower. Awesome. Then someone immediately unfollows me. And then another guy that's a follower, just my man, Rob, goes, Well, now he has 69999. You jinxed it. 6999. You jinxed it. And I've been sitting
jinxed
there.
It.
Sitting there all day. No one else followed me the whole day. So we'll see where it goes. But I have to come admit, the guy with the change.org thing, it's really funny. Like,
that's a funny
bit. It's like 3.5 million of 4.5 million needed signatures. And it's just, the whole thing is funny. I just don't trust him because he doesn't follow. So I assume he's trolling and he's being mean. Be my 7th. Wouldn't that be great if he was my 7,000th follower?
That would be amazing.
Oh, yes. God.
That would be, that'd be my favorite thing. And I hope he immediately tweets you about it, too. So I don't know. You're better at getting compliments than me. And but you're also worse at taking criticism than me.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like it's a weird thing that goes on. And I think I'm the weirdo. By the way, I don't think you're the weirdo as far as that.
No,
goes
I think I'm weird. And I you see what I think is the people that want to go out and be complimented. Like, I just talk about everything. Like, I will just say what's on my mind for better or for worse. Sometimes not that you don't, but I can be just very like in your face about some things. And the people that I think share some of the stuff that I have in my horrible brain, those are some of the people that they want to go out of their way. Like, I want to be someone that goes out of my way to say nice things to people or make them feel good or just try to, you know, when I can or when it's deserved. And I think those people want to do the same thing. But on the inverse, like you said, I can also, like, when someone wants to do, you know, the quote constructive criticism, which there's no such thing, then
there is such a thing.
No. As constructive and then it criticism. Hurts my feelings and all that.
Yeah. For me, they're like, oh, man, you guys are doing great. I'm like, all right.
Cool.
And yeah. And then they're like, hey, man, I really hated what you guys did there. And I'm like, OK.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just kind of like
just a slight change in the tonal of your voice. You're like, OK, OK.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do the Welsh's thing. I go, OK. Dude, I heard Neil Brennan do that on his podcast the other day. And I immediately thought of you.
Unsubscribe to it.
Yeah. No, I thought of you.
Oh, OK, that's good.
Now it's funny because I told you that I hate it and you got so mad.
Now
it's funny.
I dropped it in the last show. I didn't even get mad. I just got real with you, Boggs. And that was your favorite part. I was just like, I don't think you like me. That's all I did. I got real.
You're like, you know what? I think you just don't like me.
Yeah.
I think that's what you said.
That's what it said. Yeah, exactly. And you just needed to kind of sit with that for a little bit and see where you were at with it. God,
come on. Yeah.
That's where the podcast is.
I'm sure I've done this podcast and, I wait for you all the time for when you're available to do the podcast because I hate you.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, 100%. MLB might hate one certain player because this isn't like last year. Last year, where we were waiting into like mid-March for guys to sign, and everything was stupid. And MLB is starting to kind of figure things out a little bit. And, you know, the teams were very, very on it this year. We were all kind of like, wow, this is fantastic. You know, and slow trickled in signings. And really, when you get kind of like about a week before spring training, you kind of know what teams are in for, at least for probably a month. And there's one guy that's been sitting on the sidelines, and it's really odd for multiple reasons because we don't know quite what it is, and that's Yasiel Puig. Yasiel Puig, who had 24 homers last year, 19 stolen bases, over 600 plate appearances, 84 RBIs. I mean, he almost hit 270. Respectable numbers, good counting stats. He has not found a team. I mean, we're talking like losers have been finding teams, and it opens up a lot of different questions. Is this about money or something else? I feel like at one time
could it be about anything but money?
Well, I agree.
It's definitely
but,
about
well, okay, money. You know what it was? Because we didn't get any clarity on it. Pisapia was spouting some stuff from Mish, and how Pisapia had given it to us at one point almost sounded like there's something bad going on about Puig. But then I think when we dug a little bit further, we started to hear that it might just be there might be some contract stuff. Like, Puig is in no hurry. He's made his money. He's just not in any hurry to do what I think they call a pillow contract, which is like a 1-year deal, which kind of resets his market value. That's what Mike Moustakas had to do. Everyone knows. Right. And now he got like a 3-year contract. So there might be this presumed like, maybe Puig is out there wanting a, you know, 3-year, $60 million contract or a 5-year or something. Nobody has the need or want or the money to do it. And we're at a standstill where is Puig willing to bite the bullet and do this? Or, you know, is the market not there for him? And then maybe also added to this is Puig just not interested? You know, is he going to sit out the year? And there's been tons of rumors, like links. We had the Marlins. We had the White Sox. We've heard the Rockies. There was one that might have been more fan made about the New York Yankees that popped up. But
I mean, the Yankees would make sense if, like, Stanton needed surgery, right? If he needed surgery on his calf or something. But I mean, I just don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, I just don't think it even makes sense. And I guess I don't know what it was, where this was coming from, but Jim Bowden had suggested that Mariners, the Indians, Pirates, Giants, Red Sox, Cardinals are all other teams that could be potential fits for him. And I would say a majority of those actually don't really make sense. The Mariners, doesn't make any sense for them to hold back any of their young outfielders. The Indians have kind of made a bunch of their moves. I don't see why they would want to bring him back. The Pirates are in a complete rebuild. Maybe the Red Sox, maybe the Giants are kind of pseudo-ly putting together this, like, we might compete team. So the Giants actually probably make the most
sense.
Their
suicide squad?
I guess. Yeah, I guess. I don't know who you would be. The Crocodile? Who's a Crocodile guy?
I don't know. That would be Puig, probably.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, terrible attitude. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Weird. And then the Cardinals. And like, none of these teams make sense to me. But something we've seen happen is a massive slip in TGFBI. And what we were saying, the TGFBI drafts is industry fantasy baseball drafts done on the NFBC. You know, like 2 weeks ago, you and I had been spouting that there's just discount attached to Puig right now. You know, like, let's jump on it. This is a 2020 guy. Discount because there's no team. And people were making such a big ado about Ozuna and Nick Castellanos. But we're on the precipice of March 1st. We're not halfway through, but, you know, we're about 2 weeks into spring training. And not only does Puig not have a team, there doesn't seem to be any legitimate link whatsoever to him anywhere.
Yeah, there's no fire on that. It's just an empty pot. So no fire. There's nothing boiling, nothing steaming. It's just dead right now. And I think I think you're right. This, it's about money, but I think it's about the multi-year contract. I think he doesn't want to go somewhere and play for a year, because since being traded from the Dodgers, that's what he's been doing. He's been
skipping around. 2 years now?
Yeah. He was with the Reds and then the Tribe, and he's been all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it was just in 2019 he was traded to the Tribe, and then he just doesn't have a team right now. Well, here, we got to go to break. Let's talk a little bit more about Puig, because I think it's really interesting. I want to talk, let's talk more about what you're saying with the contract and the money situation. Maybe look at a few teams. And also, we can look at projections, and we can look at what's happened in TGFBI. You're a little bit further along than me. I'd love to know where you're at. But also, I'll let you guys know, like, how far we've gone, and Puig hasn't even been drafted yet. So don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up right here on Sports Grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
In this league.
I'm back! Welcome back. It's In This League. Bogman Welsh at Is It The Welsh at Bogman Sports. Be my 7,000th follower. Do that. Be Bogman's, like...
They're going to get there and be like, he's already got 7,038.
Oh, right. Come on. Just join in. Make Just it, let's join make it in. 7-11. Let's get... Bogman, we got to get you to 6,000. Let's get there.
I mean, you know...
I mean, you got to tweet, that, but...
Yeah. I would have to tweet about that. So I don't know. I'm not as big on Twitter. Like, you're like, I want to say something, but I won't say something. I'm like, it just happens when it happens.
I mean, I'm the same way. It's just when you get near those little milestones, then that's the difference. Like, other people like to tweet about it. I think about it. Then I'm like,
I got a little antsy around 5,000.
Yeah, sure.
Like, right around then. And I'll probably do the same around 10,000.
I see. Ten is the big marker. Ten is the big marker as well.
Yeah.
If we're alive for that.
Even. Yeah. I mean, if it takes as long as it took to get to five, then I'll definitely be dead, because that's within the next 5 years. There's
Well, I don't know. We got the workout plan coming up for this year. All the Diamondbacks losses are going to get a whole bunch of running.
I'm not
running
looking forward to that.
Yep.
Commitment. We were walking over the bridge that Phoenix Muni the other day, and I was struggling.
It's not a great bridge, though. It's like inclined up. I mean, I was doing all right, but I had done it a couple times. But yeah, I mean, it's not a fun thing. But you'll be doing a lot of that.
I
mean,
I wasn't like, but I was a little.
Don't look at me when I'm walking. Don't look at my heavy breathing.
It was also cold. You know, I don't know. I'm like, no, it's just cold in here. It's usually bigger. So.
Exactly. Hey, if you guys want, check us out over on the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. 5 episodes last week, all ranks. So much fun. We actually had a fun time. I know the Friday one was catchers and closers, which isn't necessarily super fun, but Bogman and I had fun with it. We talked, we kind of reestablished some of the stuff that happened during the week ranks. I had a gift for Bogman. We played the audio for that. That video should be up on our YouTube probably by the time you're listening to this now. And that's youtube.com/inthisleague. So we're talking about Yasiel Puig, who has not been drafted in my TGFBI draft. So we're a little behind as you guys are listening to this, but I can easily say we have gone 155 picks. Yasiel Puig has not been taken. That is through the 11th round of a 15 team.
I would have snapped his ass up. I hope he falls to you so you can grab him there. Because you're coming back, like what you said, round 11?
Round 11. I'm the 13th pick in round 11. So then 4 picks between my next one. So once at 163, I have that pick, and then I have pick 168. So I've got, you know, I can make, it's not a wheel pick or anything like that, but, you know, I can make a decision where, you know, if I've got a kind of set of guys, okay, cool, I can do this knowing I'll get one of these guys coming back. So it's a little bit easier to make decisions without this huge swing coming back. And yeah, Puig is on the radar because this doesn't feel like it's a personal thing that's going on. This is simply there's a contractual thing. The guy wants money. The market isn't there yet. So there's a standstill, which, you know, you and I were talking through the break. Yeah. There's a couple things that could be in play here that could work in his, I mean, not necessarily work in his favor, but there's a couple things that are probably in play until a move can be made.
Yeah, I really think that he wants that extra couple years on the contract. So I think what he's doing is he's trying to wait until someone gets hurt in spring training, hurt bad. And that way there's an opening for him and he can swoop in and say, yes, I'd love to play for your team. All I want is a 3-year contract, you know, whatever it is. They'll probably settle at 2, and that way he won't be bounced and kicked around and all that stuff. So yeah, I think he just wants a spot to live. You know,
he wants,
I mean,
some stability. I mean, and, you know, at this point, it doesn't serve him to do anything today because it, I mean, look at
what's he going to do. Go play in spring training. Who cares?
Well, I mean, first off, the guy may just not want to play in spring training. That may not be his bag. A lot of veterans want to do this type of stuff. So, you know, wait till the end. But also I'd say, look at what the hell just happened this past week. We had pitchers go down. We had Stanton go down. We've had Judge banged up. You know, we've had a lot of injuries and it hasn't hit March 1st yet. Now, know that the season starts like March 22nd or whatever, so it's not like there's that much time in between, but like this coming week is like the middle point where a couple things are going to happen. You're going to have teams have a better idea of what their starting lineups are going to look like because you're going to start probably by the end of next week, maybe the beginning of the following week, where minor league games and the minor league camps are going to really kick up. You're going to have teams sending down minor leaguers, so they're going to kind of trim out the rosters. They're going to know what things look like more for the major league. And with that is going to come two things, either maybe injuries or the team realizing that the competition they had at a certain spot isn't working. Both of those things work in favor for Yasiel Puig to get what he wants. If there's a major injury, like we've already kind of seen happening in spring training, or teams realizing what a deficit that they have, and then a team can come in and they can swoop in and they can either give him a bloated 1-year pillow contract or maybe he gets 2 out of it. So Yasiel Puig is not going to sit out the season. That doesn't seem like it's in his purview. He's still in the prime. He's 29 years old. I do feel safe that he's still going to play. I'm going to admit that I'm still a little bit worried, and drafters should proceed with caution because you and I had him like right outside the 100 range. And you should try to get the value caked in like I have in this situation, you know, around like the 160s. Like that's a pretty good risk value because for all intents and purposes, this just doesn't seem like a situation where he's gonna have to wait until July, because no team has to pay a first round pick to sign him, right?
No, I don't think so. I'm almost sure that they don't. But I could be wrong on that.
I'm looking.
I really don't think so. And I think that it's really just I'm having a hard time putting my thoughts together here. If the first round pick thing is real, I think he's waiting until June because I don't think anyone will sign him. So if that is an actual thing, I think that that is what's causing it. But I haven't heard anything about that. You'd think every time you hear this story crop up, you would hear, well, no team wants to give up that compensation pick. That would make sense. So I don't think that's what it is. I think that he wants a multi-year contract. He's volatile. I mean, we had that picture where he's trying to look like the Raging Bull and fight the entire Pirates organization last year. So he's a little bit volatile. I think that teams have a hard time adding a guy like that to their camp, especially when they think that they have a nice chemistry going, because he's a guy that can definitely come in and screw up the locker room. But I think that his talent is better than 90% of the guys in the league. So he should definitely have a contract by now. So someone will give it to him.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't see anything in here. I'm looking.
I can't imagine that's it.
I don't see there's anything attached to compensation whatsoever. Hey, you know, here, I got another one. I don't think anybody has brought this one up now that I'm thinking about it. And I'm looking through because, I mean, Bowden listed half the freaking teams. And then there's a couple others. How about a team like the Angels, you know, where they have got a glaring spot right now? So just follow me here. Brian Goodwin is fine. Not great. He's fine. They've already had some injury issues from the pitching department. Not saying that you go have pitching issues and then you want to go spend money on your offense. But if you're in a win now mode, just follow me here for a second. Let's say stuff is a problem. Maybe the Angels say, you know what? We're going to have to go and do this in the trade market. And this really puts us in an all in. Maybe it wasn't before. And maybe they're unhappy with the progress on Joe Adell. You know, maybe they don't love the progress of him being able to come up in the first half, and Brian Goodwin just doesn't fit the mold necessarily just enough. Bringing a guy like Yasiel Puig to be out there with Upton and Trout, that would spell a little bit of a doom for Joe Adell, I think. But if this team is legit serious about trying to, you know, get a World Series under their belt, they went and signed Anthony Rendon. Why wouldn't they consider? They might have the biggest glaring need for an outfielder of any of the top competitive playoff based teams. I mean, find me a bigger playoff based team that has a bigger single hole at one position outside of Chicago White Sox in second base.
I think there's two things there. I think number one, they really want to spend on pitching. And I think I can't remember
but who else is out there.
Well, nobody. But I think next year there might be a nice free.
But that's why That's why you signed Puig to like a one year, $8 million contract or something.
Well,
like that.
If he'll sign that, I guarantee you they've talked to his agent, and if he would sign something like that,
I agree.
I bet it would probably be done already. But I think that after they canceled the trade with the Dodgers, I think that that is just Joe Adell's spot, right? He's going to come up at some point and take over one of these outfield spots. And
they're confident.
Well, and I think they either are really confident in Joe Adell, or I think this might be one of the things where they said to Trout, hey, you know, we're thinking about signing Yasiel Puig. What do you think? And he just was like, no, I don't want that guy in the locker room.
Don't imagine. I mean, Trout just wants to win games.
They gave Trout $400 million. So I think they're probably running some stuff by him. So
I just don't see Trout doesn't seem like the type of guy though. I mean, that's,
I don't think he would either.
That's heavy speculative type of stuff.
Right. Oh, there. Yeah. I don't think he's that type of guy either. But that's like the only other thing I could think of is, you know, it's either they want to save it's three things. It's that spots for Adell. They want to save money for pitching next year. And Trout said no. Those are like the only reasons, because you're absolutely right that this is a team with one of the bigger glaring holes in Major League Baseball, because Brian Goodwin is he's a great ball player, but he ain't a starter.
No,
he's a platoon player at best.
It doesn't make sense. And, you know, the Marlins, I think the gap has kind of gone away from them. You know, they've got Brian Anderson at third, but you're going to have at least Corey Dickerson. I mean, they might potentially have a spot, but Kemp has looked relatively good. Like, so they might keep Matt Kemp, and they have Dickerson, VR, and yeah, no, it would be VR, Dickerson, and Kemp in the outfield. So the spots are going down. I'm going to say that I think the Angels are a dark horse here, and I'm going to say it happens. Bogman would have swooped him up. I'm going to swoop him up if he's in here. If you get past, I think, the 130 range, you got to look at him, because there's not many. How many 2020 guys are truly out there? You can dream on Byron Buxton, which is fine. The only thing holding you back from not taking Puig is having a team. And that's an easy rectifiable. Is that the word?
Erectile dysfunction.
OK, well, I'm going to go take a blue pill, and then we'll be back after this break.
To light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the Daily Roto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Right now, but you won't. Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my
in this league.
Welcome back in this league right here on Sports Grid. It's Bogman. It's your boy Welsh. Did you know that Bogman just put out, I don't know, do we have one this past week? I missed a Bogman, but Bogman put out his first NFL draft war room podcast on the In This. Just search In This League Fantasy Football, and Bogman had a mock draft, and I believe you had McKechnie on, didn't you?
Yeah, I had our boy Johnny McKechnie on there, and it was funny because last time he had put this song up from Andy Samberg in that pop star. I can't say the name of the song because it's very vile. He had put that up, and I was like, dude, I love Andy Samberg. I love this stuff. And then when he came on this, like a couple hours before this show, he posted a GIF of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I had like just caught up on watching. So it's just weird. Now, the Andy Samberg comedies.
Did you, was there a new war room for this past week?
Yes. I'm, you know, since this is definitely live, that was posted yesterday at some point.
At some point. Okay, good.
Yes, excellent. You can go check that out.
And so, it'll be about some really cool topics around the draft.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of the combine. Because
How about who the hell was it? Was it Ruggs that ran a 4.28?
4.28, and he was mad. He was mad about running the 4.28.
Because he didn't break the record, right?
Because he didn't break the record, yeah. And I was actually, the combine is so boring, and I was watching it today. Or, you know, a couple days ago, of course. And I was watching it, and he went to start his very first one, and they blew the whistle on him, and which means he didn't set correctly, and he had to come back and do it again. And that's the one he actually hurt his foot doing his second run, or his hip or something.
I like the combine stuff, though. I think that'll be a fun episode, even though I know you don't like the combine. Like, how about all the chaos of, who was it, Jacob Eason, who was just zipping the ball like he was speeding. He was getting speeding tickets for dropping 62 mile an hour throws. Ruggs going to 4.28. Crazy.
How about the kid from, I like the weird stuff that comes out. The kid from TCU, Justin Blaylock, the defensive tackle, didn't know that he had 37 parking tickets until I think the Raiders were, interviewing him, and they did a background check and found out that he had 37 outstanding parking tickets.
I mean, all that immediately tells me is that is a absolutely stupid person. Like, because you're clearly, you're just the worst driver on the planet. Like, I just remind, that's like our boy Couch.
From the school.
No, it's probably our boy Couch. Like, Couch would just drive like 110 miles an hour. I'm not saying Couch is stupid, by the way, but I'm saying Couch will drive 110 miles an hour. And it would be like doing that. Like, I assume this guy is doing that and then being like, I didn't know I had the tickets.
When's the last time you were in a car with Couch? Come on.
I don't drive in the car with Couch.
when was the last time you saw him driving like a maniac like that?
I've seen it. It's been a while.
I've seen it too, but I mean, you know.
But what I'm saying is this guy driving like that and then pretending like he didn't know what's going on. No, I understand that. But like, you're clearly just, you're parking in multiple lanes and in handicap. 37 ticket. You don't
get. Can I make an argument in his, I'm going to be his defense.
There's, okay, Saul Goodman, there is no chance you, Jimmy McGill, are going to be able to justify how, if you would have said five, I would have been like, all right, you know, maybe just a little clumsy over 4 years. 30 tickets? 30?
I bet this is what happened. I bet
it's one a month.
I bet he keeps parking in the same spot and he thinks that they're like, you know.
Oh, advertisements lame. 30 times?
No.
House parties?
I bet he thinks they're lame tickets from the school that like don't matter, that you don't have to pay. You know what I mean?
You don't think after like the 14th one, you might be like, maybe I should look into what these are.
Well, dude, I would. Yeah.
Okay. But stupid person wouldn't.
I'm not going to sit here and call him smart. I'm going to say that maybe he didn't know because he thought they were, you know, like, have you ever stayed at a friend's house who lives in a gated community and you parked on the sidewalk and you wake up in the morning and there's some, I almost lost $100 there. There's some dumb ticket on your car.
Parked on the sidewalk?
Yeah, you park on the sidewalk and they give you some HOA ticket or something. It's not really for you. It's for the people who invited you over.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
To whatever, you know.
I know what you're talking about, but not 37 times.
Not 37 times for me either. So, but I have gotten those and I crumple them up and throw them right where I just parked. So, yeah.
Well, again, what I'm getting at here is I'm assuming, A, this is also a horrific driver, but B, he is a 9 awareness on Madden because he obviously also doesn't know he's a bad driver. To be also, like, this is a 37?
He could have just said, screw this. I'm going to be rich soon. I'm going to park wherever I want. I'll pay the parking tickets later.
Okay,
and then when the Raiders ask him about him, he's like, oh, I had no idea.
So then he's an a-hole is what he is.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, sure. I mean, anyone who parks in the wrong spot that many times keeps getting tickets is definitely an a-hole. So
okay. Yeah. So he's perfect for the Raiders then.
Yeah, perfect for the Raiders. Yeah. Fit right in. So okay.
All right. So back to baseball then. Football. You're gonna justify why this guy is not a total moron, and you'll talk about all the other fun combine stuff over on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast, where Bogman breaks down draft stuff and relates it to fantasy.
Absolutely. That's what we're going to do. It's going to be great. It's going to be 20 minutes of me defending the TCU kid from his parking tickets and then the rest of the information. I like all the weird rumors and stuff, like Jordan Love's going to be a top 10 pick now, they're saying. And I don't know about all that. So
I mean, the way the wide receivers perform might have 10 to 12 of them in the stupid first round. So
I know, dude, they're so good.
Speaking of drafts, TGFBI, our buddy Justin Mason has put those down. We've already talked football so much in this segment, but Bogman and Bubba, we're going to say Bogman's team breakdown for Bubba. You guys are going to be talking about both of yours, all of us competing in the TGFBI. And I've got a league where I got a couple people that I know of or friendly with. I got our boy Matt Thompson from Prospects Live. Scott Pinowski from Yahoo is on here. And I am dropped over on the 13th spot. And it's these big 15-team roto industry draft. I don't even know how many. I think there's like 23 leagues or something like that. There's like a crazy amount of leagues. Everybody in the industry is doing them. Two catchers, five outfielders, roto. And insanity ensues across the board. I mean, you saw it in your league where, you know, because these are like they're NFBC based. So you've kind of, you know, no trades, just fab stuff. There's kind of an all in one nature that's attached to them, even more so than, you know, like if you were to play on NFBC, drop $150 on some draft champions or something, you know, there's multiple cash prizes. This is even more nothing but winning your league matters in this at all. So you're going to see more chances being taken, more strategy kind of across the board. You know, people going more team construction than standard drafting than you've ever seen before. ADP be damned in this stuff. And I mean, Bogman's league was a living proof as Garrett Cole was like the first overall pick in that one.
1-1. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, you're not going to see that in other spots. So I had unlucky 13, as I would say, because I've had so many spots where a guy has been taken right in front of me and it's just ruined the idea of what I've wanted to do.
So ultimately, I don't usually do this, and I bet I'm doing this more than you're. Bogman, is it fair to say like you're putting together kind of a like best available like Bogman draft type of a team? You're just you're kind of going off your board. You're building the best available, right?
Yeah, I mean, I am just piecing together what I need as I go. So there's not I don't want to say there's no strategy to it because there definitely is strategy. But if a guy falls and it's ridiculous, I just have felt the need. I have to take him. So
I've gone a little bit off board than what I would probably normally do because I decided like perfect example in the first round, things went relatively standard, but Trey Turner was dropping and he dropped all the way to the pick right before me and then swooped right up under my ass. And Trey Turner, that's who I had briefly said beforehand. I was like, man, if Trey Turner fell to me, this would be amazing. And he did. And then he went one pick before me. So I was kind of sitting in this spot where I was like, I just don't love everything. I mean, yeah, I see Arenado's out here. Bregman had fallen. But what I decided was I wanted to category hunt in this because it's all or nothing. I want to have as many power speed guys as I can. I want elite speed. I want to go elite power where I can and obviously develop the pitching as I can go. So I went really off book. And one of the first examples of that with my first pick, 13 overall, I went Fernando Tatis Jr. And I did it over Arenado. I did it over Bregman. A couple other good players that were in there. And, you know, it was received eh-ly. You know, I mean, I remember.
You're shooting your shot at that point, you're taking upside because this is like you just said, it's all or nothing. So why not take upside?
I mean, it was like taking, you know, the upside of the Acuna at the shortstop spot. And I mean, Rudy Gamble ended up doing the same thing as me. I believe in his draft, I think he took Tatis Jr. 12 overall in his. And I saw Tatis at 13, actually for a decent amount of people. And it was a risk that I was kind of torn with. And what I wanted to do coming back was I had said, to myself, I said, self, I want power speed at each position. In an ideal world, I'm going to go off book again and I'll take Jose Ramirez because I figured Bregman's there. Verlander was still there. Arenado. I took Tatis over all these guys. And then stupid Jose Ramirez went on the turn and it screwed up my plans. And it came back to my pick in the second round, Boggs, and Arenado, Bregman and Justin Verlander were all still there. And I was kind of shocked. And I ended up going with the pitching because as we know, pitching is going to get really squirrely. So I was able to balance out this like risk speed power pick in Tatis Jr. with a Verlander in the second round, which I don't think he went this late in many drafts. I mean, that was 16, 17, 18 overall.
Who that was Bregman?
Verlander.
Oh, yeah. Verlander went 13 in mine. And I'm not sure. Rudy Gamble is actually in my draft, but he went Turner Martinez to start. So I'm not sure.
I don't know who I'm thinking of. I don't know who I was thinking.
Well, Joe, I know Pizapia took Fernando Tatis in the same spot that you're in.
Yeah, I don't know who I was thinking of then. Let's talk a little bit more about it. Next hour, we're going to talk more about TGFBI. We got some other cool stories here, and we can lament a little bit more about really what I did with the rest of this draft because some interesting stuff. So don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.